is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 226, all the stanzas. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 226. Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19 through verse 31. John 20, verses 19 through 31. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 20, beginning with verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, that thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Clara Clausen, who has torn some ligaments through a small mishap and is now laid up for many weeks. Let us try to ask for the blessing and for the help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who didst come in the presence of thy disciples, we read two times when the doors were shut. And Lord, thou knowest it is a different way, but for us also the doors are shut. But thou art able to come in our midst, oh, that thou may show thyself as a surprising God, as thou hast shown thyself unto thy disciples in those days wherein they did mourn and weep. Oh, what an affection that was evident in the midst of thy church, in the way of thy deep humiliation, as so that they could not bear that thou wouldst go in such a way. And they had no desire to go in such a way themselves. And yet thou didst draw them so that they did never leave nor forsake thee utterly. Thou didst uphold them. Thou didst keep them. Thou didst watch over them and protect them. And thou didst come unto them again. When thy deep humiliation was finished, and when now in these weeks we may commemorate thy blessed exaltation, which we have begun to consider with one another already, that there was great gladness in the heart of thy disciples, and when they may see the Lord. Oh, could it please thee to grant also such a great gladness in these weeks wherein we may commemorate thy exaltation. Lord, that thou may appear unto us, and that thou may speak unto us, as thou hast spoken unto thy disciples. Oh, thou didst say unto them, peace be unto you. And thou knowest how much fear that there is in this world. And thou knowest how much anxiety and how much trouble does live in the hearts of men. But thou alone art able to give a peace which passes all understanding. Oh, men do deny thy existence. Men do deny thy divinity. Men do deny thy humanity. Men do reject thy grace and thy mercy. But then there is only one happiness in life and in death. And there is but one comfort, there is but one peace. So that a man may live in comfort and that he may die in peace. But then it needs to be applied to each one of us. To young and old, while we are in a day of grace. And Lord, thou knowest we have no desire for these things. From ourselves it is all world and all carnality. And then we are of the earth, earthy. But oh, that thou may give to us new life. life that hungers and that thirsts for spiritual things. A life that hungers and that pants even as after thee, as the hart panteth for the water brooks. As so it is in the life of each and every one of thy own. And when those marks of grace will become evident, may it be in young and old together, especially in these days wherein the callings are coming unto us in a multitude of ways, so that we feel thy judgments in the earth, but that we may also hear thy voice in it. For thou speakest in the sunshine, and thou speakest also in the storm, and thou speakest in the way of prosperity, and thou speakest in the way of adversity. But we need to receive ears to hear, and we need to receive eyes to see, and we need to receive an heart to understand. Oh, we need to receive humility, and we need to receive submission. Oh, we need to receive a true repentance in order that we may receive grace and mercy at thy hand, and that all thy judgments would be turned away from us. O Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou wouldst do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, we and our children. Come then in our midst in this day, and thou dost set it aside only one day of the week. And when we must labor all the week long, and we are commanded by thee now to rest. But Lord, we need to see and to know, and by thy Spirit, what that true rest is, and that we may enter into it, and that we may be given a little of that true comfort and peace, at which thou speakest unto the hearts of thy people. Oh, remember them also in these days, for the sorrows of their heart will also be upon them, when they are not able to come together in thy house of prayer. But thou art able to stand above it in a way which is so surprising unto us. Thou art able to come over all the mountains. Thou art able to bring thy people through the sea in the ways of impossibility. And it is in the way of trial and tribulation wherein thou wilt instruct thy own children. Oh, that we might know then the things that are necessary to learn between the cradle and the grave. Look upon our children and the teachers also in our school, and the many, many labors which have been performed in these past weeks. And wilt thou bless and sanctify them, and wilt thou give them a little rest in the week to come, and the parents also at home, and when the labors need not to be borne, and wilt thou give a little rest, and that thou may supply that energy that is necessary, and that they may take up their labors once again in due time, and that thou may protect each and every one from a sudden and an unprepared death. Oh, do teach us to number our days, that thy judgments and callings may not harden us, but that we may be given to hearken unto thy voice, that it may be sounding within our ears and within our hearts, that we might not be able to let thee go, even with a need and a desire in our hearts, as Jacob of old, who did wrestle with thee and prevailed. O Lord, that thou thyself may instruct thy children in those further steps of grace, even as we may commemorate in this time when thou didst instruct thy own disciples, and when thou didst for 40 days upon this world give them to know the meaning of all that had taken place in thy life and in their life.
at that which they did not understand. But thou, we read, didst open their understandings, that they might understand the Scriptures. Oh, so many things that are so dark and mysterious in thy leadings and in thy teachings. But thou, who art that great prophet, thou art able to lead into all of thy mediatorial work, so that thou art able to give thy children to feed thereupon, that they might eat thy flesh and drink thy blood, that there may be a nourishment received, and that they may be brought also to experience some of the blessed fruits of thy death and also thy resurrection. Oh, that they may be given to enter by a living hope in within the veil, that they may be given to see that way that has been opened up through the dear Son of Thee, and that Thou hast given access unto the heart of the Father. Oh, that there may be a desire, and that it may be spoken unto them, even as it was spoken by Thee Thyself, that I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and unto my God and your God. O Lord, that Thou may give us to know that Thou art our Father, and that Thou art our God, and that Thou dost sit at the right hand of Thy Father for our sakes also, and that we can never perish because we are held in Thy hand. O Lord, that we may be given to know something of that blessed adoption of children, that we may receive that blessed comfort, that we are Thine own, and that Thou may give that blessed certainty, whereby that we may with courage and with the strength of faith be able to live and to die. Oh, that there may go something out from Thy children also in the days in which we live, which may make the world jealous, and also all that are within the church. Oh, that they may look and desire to have that portion wherewith we can live and die. Oh, Lord, do it for Thy name's sake, because there are so many treasures that are to be received by a true and living faith. But we are so ignorant, and we are so weak, and we are so blind, and we are so faithless. But wilt Thou grant unto us that which that alone can come from Thee, that Thou didst give unto Thy disciples in the days of after Thy resurrection? O Lord, that Thou may supply for all the natural needs also, and the needs of the afflicted and the sick. Remember her that has fallen in the week gone by. And Lord, Thou knowest that in a moment, then everything so changes, and there are many children to care for. But Lord, wilt Thou help in those circumstances to give healing and to supply and to give instruction? And could it please Thee a little visit from heaven? Help that mother and father together. And Lord, remember all the sick and the afflicted in this world. There are many. Oh, hear the cries of the poor and of the needy, and that Thou may give wisdom to doctors and to scientists, that they may be given to know how to cure this disease. For Thou alone art that great physician, but that men may learn also to acknowledge Thy name, and that we may not go on in our own strength. Help our rulers. Many and most important decisions that need to be made by them each and every day. Oh, give them strength and wisdom and courage, And wilt thou give them a place at thy footstool, that they might feel how ignorant and foolish that they are in themselves, and that they may lay before thee all their own needs and the needs of their people. O Lord, that thou may look on us as nations, for happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Turn us again then, O give, that we may walk according to all thy commandments, that we may cease to slay the unborn, for there is so much blood upon our hands. O deal not with us as we so justly deserve, and thy name that is taken in vain each and every day, and thy Sabbath day that is desecrated. O Lord, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, and turn us again to thy law and to thy testimonies. Remember thy servants, we and also him who labors in this area. O Lord, that thou may help us together in the midst of this part of thy vineyard, and all thy servants in our denomination upon the mission field, the students. Lord, look upon each and every one, also over the length and breadth of the whole world. Wilt thou increase their number, and wilt thou care for them and for all thy church, those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. O give them to feel that thou art their God, and that thou standest on their right and on their left hand, to look upon all the needy. Wilt thou be with us also in this afternoon hour? O Lord, help us, as thou hast helped us in the weeks that have gone by, and when thou hast made it an easy and a loving task. But we cannot do this of ourselves. O, we beseech thee for a little visit from on high, and that thou would come through the doors, O Lord, and that thou would visit us with thy presence, and with thy nearness, with thy favor, with instruction, that we may be able to instruct others, and that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory, and that thy people may be fed, that new ones may be born in Zion. O, forgive thou, and take away all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 212, all the stanzas. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart. My night recalled my song. And what follows in Psalter 212, all the stanzas.
Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in John 20, the 26th verse. John 20, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." So far the words of our text with their context. Our theme is Thomas, sought and helped by Jesus. First, a missing Thomas. Second, a present Thomas. And third, a confessing Thomas. Thomas sought and helped by Jesus. First, a missing Thomas. Second, a present Thomas. And third, a confessing Thomas. A missing Thomas. Why do we say a missing Thomas? What do we read in these verses before? But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. What does that speak about? That speaks about that day of the resurrection, when the Lord Jesus, he has visited his disciples. We read in the evening, we read when they were assembled together. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Thus he has first appeared unto Mary Magdalene, and he has appeared afterwards to the other women. We can read that he has appeared unto Peter, but we do not read of that appearance. Why do you think that is, children? That we do not read of the appearance of the Lord Jesus to Peter? Well, you know what Peter has done. And then the Lord Jesus thought it prudent that he would see Peter all by himself. Maybe that is sometimes happening to you. When you have done something that is not good, and then your father or your mother, and then they speak unto you all by yourself. I think you are glad, are you not? When they have spoken unto you afterwards. So I think it was also with Peter. And we read about the Lord Jesus. He has visited also the two men on the way to Emmaus. And then finally in the evening, then he has also visited with the disciples. We read, as they were assembled together. But then in a very specific way, we read, written in the Word of God, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Thus, the Lord, he takes attendance, we would say, in his house. The Lord, he takes attendance in the assemblies, in the gatherings of his own people. He records in his book who was there and who was not there. That is not the consistory, that makes such a record. No, the Lord makes that record. How many times is it written in the book of the Lord and that we were not there when the congregation, they may be assembled together in that house of the Lord? And what were your reasons? Because we don't read here of the reason of Thomas. And yet the Lord knows what our reasons are. There's a great difference in the reasons. Naturally, it is possible that Thomas, that he was detained by some kind of earthly cares. So are we also sometimes, mothers, fathers, the caring for our children, or when we are sick and so on, and that it is not possible that we come together in the house of the Lord. And yet here, what we read about Thomas makes us think, makes us surmise that actually it is otherwise with Thomas. Why? Well, Thomas, he is despondent, that is clear. And it is not difficult for us, and it is not difficult, especially for God's children, to understand why that Thomas is despondent and to sympathize with him. Sometimes Thomas is referred to as the unbelieving disciple. But I think we have to be careful with this, because Thomas, he is one of the true church. There is faith that is planted in that heart of Thomas. He is marked by faith. We teach our young people that the church of God, there is a visible church, and then there is also an invisible church. And why is it invisible? Well, we do not know exactly who that they are, but also that which marks them as the true church, that is faith, that is also invisible. We cannot see it. It only comes out in its actions. There is a great difference between the state of faith or grace and the condition of faith. Thomas, he was no unbeliever. No faith that was planted in his heart. Is faith also planted in our hearts? Because faith, when it is planted in our heart, that is not like many of the plants that we will now plant in the spring. Some of them will come up, and some of them will not come up. They will die. But when the Lord, he is planting that faith in the heart of his children, and then it is a plant which cannot die. And yet, it may be in a very, very low condition. It may be so low that it is hardly discernible. Hardly discernible to the person himself. Hardly discernible to all those that are round about him, because the exercise, and that is lacking. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Despondency. Despondency, that is such an awful thing. God's children, they are also liable to despondency. That is not just living in the characters of the persons of this world. The exercise of faith, that is indeed a great remedy to despondency. And yet the experience is that they do not have in their own strength the ability to begin it or to sustain it. That is why the disciples, they asked the Lord Jesus, they said to him, increase our faith. despondency. We read about Elijah and how despondent he was. He said, "O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." When he lay there under the juniper tree, and then he could not see it anymore. "No," he said, "thy own people Israel, they have forsaken thy covenant. They have thrown down thine altars. They have slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." Oh, how despondent that he was, because everything that did not go as he had thought, and everything that was for him so upside down, he had tried so hard. He was now at the end of all his strength. He was now at the end of all his courage. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Can you understand that, people of the Lord? Thomas loved the Lord. Thomas was called by the Lord. 3 years, Thomas has faithfully followed the Lord. Thomas has hoped, he has looked for the coming of the kingdom of the Lord, but it had been so, so discouraging. But all the enmity of the scribes and of the Pharisees and of the rulers. Oh, and Thomas had a character. Yeah, the character that is different from one person to another. And the Lord can give us grace, but that does not take away our character. One, he says, "That cup is still half full." The other, he says, "That cup is already half empty." And that character that can so come in the conflict, as it were, with in the people of the Lord. What was the character of Thomas? We can read that he had a character where he was, it seems, somewhat prone to being dejected. We know when the dangers, they began to increase in the life of the Lord Jesus. And then in the Lord Jesus, he has gone away from Jerusalem. And the disciples, they were glad. But then Lazarus died. The Lord Jesus, he says, "Let us go again to Bethany." And then what does Thomas say? Oh, Thomas, he says, "Let us go too, and we will die with him." Oh, there is Thomas. And then we can understand a little bit how it must have been for Thomas when everything that has gone so backwards in his view. The Lord Jesus, he gives himself into the hands of the enemy. Thomas loved the Lord Jesus. Thomas would fight for the Lord Jesus. Oh, he wanted with the other disciples to give his life for the Lord Jesus. Yet the Lord Jesus had commanded Peter that that sword had to go into its sheath. And what shall we do now? When the Lord Jesus will not fight for himself, then how can we protect him? How can we fight for him? And then the trial, and then the crucifixion. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Are there those that can understand Thomas? Maybe there are those. They have said, "I will not go to church anymore. Why should I? What is the use? I've hoped, and I have longed, and I have expected, and I have looked forward, and it has come to nothing." It was nothing. It is nothing. It shall be nothing. I've deceived myself. My hope that is in the grave. Why should I try anymore? Why should I pray anymore? Why should I read the Bible anymore? Why should I go anymore in the assembly of the people of the Lord? What do you say of that people, young people? What do you think of that people? Maybe you say that is a people. They have no faith. Is that right? They have no faith. Well, let us wait a moment before that we make this conclusion. We want to show you a little something. We see that in our second thought, a present Thomas, what we read in our text. And after 8 days again, his disciples are within, and Thomas with them. Is that not remarkable? And Thomas with them. The Lord Jesus, he has it written in his word. He takes attendance, as it were, the second time. And now Thomas, he is there. Why? What happened? Why is Thomas with them now? Well, what do we read? We read that Thomas, he was missed by the other disciples. Do we ever miss one another? And when we do not see one another, when we do not hear from one another, do God's children ever miss one another? What do we read? We read the other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Thus the other disciples, when Thomas, he was not there, they went after him. When that Sabbath was over, sometime in that week, and then the disciples, they have gone to look up Thomas. To say, Thomas, why were you not there? To speak to Thomas. And then they have told Thomas what they have received when they were assembled, when they were together. Oh, may you ever tell something. May you ever tell something of what you have received when you were together, assembled with the people of the Lord. May you ever tell something what the Lord he has done unto your poor soul. We have seen the Lord, the disciples tell Thomas. Oh, they tell Thomas what he missed. What he missed in his absence. They said, the Lord, he has appeared to us. The Lord, he has come unto us. We have seen him with our own eyes. And the Lord, he has showed us tokens of his resurrection, of his crucifixion. He has shown to us his hands. He has shown to us his side. He has given us these tokens in order that we might believe, that we might know that it was truly him. We have seen him. We have seen the Lord. The Lord, he has spoken unto us. The Lord, he has visited us. The Lord, he has come through our closed doors. The Lord, he has spoken unto our souls. The Lord, he has said, peace be unto you. We have heard his voice. The Lord has made us rejoice. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. No, it was no vision. No, it was no dream. No, they were so sure. They have received a confidence in his death and in his resurrection. And the Lord, he has taken away from them all their doubts in that moment, all their fears, all their weeping. He has dried their tears and he has made us to rejoice. We have seen the Lord. What a precious testimony. Oh, may we ever give such a testimony. Such a testimony of the Lord's doing when we are assembled with the people of the Lord. Say, we cannot see him now. No, we cannot see him with our natural eyes. That is true. But it is possible that we may see him with our soul's eyes. Do you believe that? And what do you think? If you would see him with your soul's eyes, do you think that that would now be less than to see him with your natural eyes? There were many. When he was in this world, they saw him with their natural eyes. Yet they did not believe in him. But if the Lord, he would show us himself with our soul's eyes, you know what you will say? You will say, I have seen the Lord. Or maybe if you are young, you will tell no one. Because, well, often we do not understand it. We do not know what it was. Well, hopefully there may come a time in your life when the Lord may instruct you, when you may look back, and then you may tell your children, and you may tell your grandchildren, that I was only maybe 15 years old. I was 20 years old. Or I was 25 years old when I have seen the Lord for the first time in my life. Do you believe that, young people? Do you believe that the Lord, he is beginning so often in the heart of his children when they are young? No, they cannot explain it when they are young. No, they may hopefully explain that when they are older. But the beginnings, they are there already so often in their youth. And then it is a blessed thing that when they may say unto others, I have seen the Lord. Why? Because that is so encouraging unto others, especially when God's children, they are in a way of desponding, when they cannot see it anymore. You say, it was not encouraging to Thomas. What was the answer of Thomas? Except, I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. Oh, you say, Thomas? Is Thomas now encouraged by the other disciples when they say, I have seen the Lord? They do not even believe it. He does not believe it. Oh, Thomas. Thomas is so discouraged. Thomas does not think that he can ever believe again. Oh, do you know what that is? People of the Lord, to think that you could maybe never believe again. You think back, or you think back to times in your life that you say that you thought that you had believed. When your soul that had rejoiced in what you believed were the revelations of the Lord, that you may receive joy in those revelations of his dear, of his only begotten Son. Or that you may say, my soul doth magnify the Lord with Mary, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Oh, with those shepherds, and then you may have glorified God for all the things that he had shown unto you. Oh, that you may say, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. You have maybe spoken of him. Spoken of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. And today, you say it would be the greatest miracle if I could ever believe again. Or you say maybe with Thomas, if I would believe again, I would think I will have to see him with my eyes. I will have to touch him with my hands. My heart is so hard. My heart is so cold. My heart is so worldly. It is so carnal. Oh, when faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true. When in my grief I nurtured doubt, I well nigh slipped from ways devout. And yet, Thomas is no unbeliever. How do we know that? Oh, what do we read in our text? We read here, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Thomas with them. Why? Why is Thomas with them? You know why Thomas is with them, young people? I will tell you. Because faith that is in a low condition is not the same thing as faith which has disappeared altogether, as faith that does not exist altogether. True faith, when it will lie in the heart, that will show itself in actions. And now, one action we read about the faith of David. And David, he did go with a sling and 5 stones against Goliath. You say, that was a man of faith. That is true. And yet here is also faith that shows itself in an action. May not be that faith that lived at that moment in the heart of David. But it shows itself. How? Well, we would say, Thomas, he comes back to church. Say, is that all? Why does Thomas come back to church? Why do you think, boys and girls? Why do you think Thomas comes back? Oh, what he has heard. We have seen the Lord. Now you say, Thomas. Thomas says, I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. I will have to touch him. I will have to thrust my hand into his side. And yet, does Thomas really not believe it? Thomas did not believe it. Thomas had not gone back. But there is a hope. There is a hope, however small that may be, a tender hope. There is love. There is desire. Oh, if that could be. If that could only be. That I may come amidst that people of the Lord. And that Jesus, he would come again. That he would show himself. While I was also present. Do you understand what faith is? Do you understand what faith does?
Do you understand whom faith loves? The affections, who they go out to in a true saving faith, let us sing. 240, 1, 2, and 5. Lord God of my salvation, day and night I cry to Thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in Thy mercy. Answer me. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 240.
Thank you.
our last thought, the confession of Thomas. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then came Jesus. Is that not a wonder? Thus that hope. You say maybe, what is it? It is such a little hope. It is such a hope that is, you say it is so full of unbelief. I cannot trust. I cannot believe. And yet that love. And yet that hope. That hoping against hope that was not put to shame by Jesus. Then came Jesus. Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." The Lord had heard Thomas, had heard just what he said. How did he hear him, children? How did he hear him? Do you know how he heard him? He was right next to him. He was right with him. You know where he was? He was inside of him. Do you know what the Bible says? That his body, that is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Lord, he is never far away from his people. He was not far away from Thomas. He knew everything Thomas said. And he knew everything that lived in his heart. And he knows what his people are thinking. And he knows what bears them down in their soul. And it grieved him. It grieved him what Thomas had said. Why? Why? What did Thomas want? Didn't Thomas want evidences? And now our evidence is wrong. Our evidence is wrong. You say, if I could but feel something. If I could but see something. Did not the Lord Jesus show his hands and his side unto the other disciples? Did not Lord Jesus do that freely as evidences that they might believe? Is it not the Lord who gives to us the water of baptism? Is it not the Lord who gives to us bread and wine in the supper of the Lord? That there may be some tokens, something that God's children, they may see with their eyes, and they may eat with their mouth, are tokens, evidences, are they wrong? Evidences are not wrong. The Lord Jesus here offers them to Thomas. If Thomas needs them, he says, "Here, Thomas, is that what you need? Here, take your finger, and now touch my hand. Take your hand, thrust it into my side. That your faith, that may be revived, that you may not be in unbelief, but that you may be full of faith." And yet, we do not read that Thomas does it. You do not read that Thomas puts his finger to touch the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not? Oh, the Lord Jesus, he is not dependent upon those evidences. That is now what Thomas experiences here. Thomas was wrong to think that only the physical evidences that could make him believe again, only if he could actually see it with his eyes, only if he could actually touch it with his hands, that is the only way that he could receive assurance and certainty. But it was not so. In that way, he limited the Lord Jesus in his despondency. But when the Lord Jesus came, when the Lord Jesus appeared to him, then he says, no, that is not necessary to touch. It is not necessary to feel. Why not? Because the Lord, he brings everything along. What do we read? And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. That is a confession that you do not read from the other disciples. Only Mary Magdalene, she said, Rabboni. Thomas, he said, my Lord and my God. He makes a confession. Beautiful confession. Oh, do you ever wish? Ask God's children. Oh, then they look at that confession and they say, now, if I could now come up to the height that Thomas there may come up to. Oh, he may confess the deity of Christ, but the Lord also blesses him with appropriating faith. Not only Lord and God, but my Lord and my God. And now you see how close together are doubts and fears and faith. They are but moments apart. One visit from the Lord, one revelation of the Lord, one word from the Lord, and all the doubts and the fears, they are all disappearing. Oh, young people, sometimes you can hear people and they speak about outward things. They say, I've seen a great light, or I've seen this or that. It is true that, yeah, sometimes it can be just as if that a person he has actually seen with his natural eyes so clearly when the Lord is coming that it is exciting, as it were, the natural imaginations of the mind, so that it is just as if that the Lord he is standing before them. But it is not so. No, the Lord is not coming in visions. The Lord is not coming in dreams. That is something that happened in a former dispensation. The Lord, he is coming by his word and by his spirit. Do not look for outward things, but look for inward things. A spiritual sight, a spiritual understanding, a receiving by faith. What did the Lord Jesus say to Thomas? He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Is that not a wonder? The Lord Jesus says, it is possible to believe without seeing me in person. That is a wonder, because the Lord Jesus is in heaven. We cannot see him in person. Maybe you say, children, it would be nice if the Lord Jesus, if he was here on the earth now, then maybe I could believe. But that is not so. No, the Lord Jesus says, that it is possible, and those are blessed who have never seen me with their natural eyes, but who have received an eye of faith. Oh, faith. Faith is such a wonderful gift. Do you think so too? Faith, that is just what we receive the greatest blessings with. Of all the things that we can receive in this world, we can receive sights with our eyes and beautiful sounding things with our ears. Oh, so many things we can receive through our five senses. But nothing that is saving for our soul. Nothing that is lasting beyond the time that all the things here below will burn. Faith. By faith we receive everything that can dispel a man's despondency. Is Thomas despondent anymore? Oh, he is just the opposite of that. Faith appropriates the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may receive a personal benefit for myself, that reconciles a soul unto God through him, my Lord and my God. Sometimes the greatest doubters, they become the greatest believers, the strongest believers, by a single word of Christ. Oh, how they then sing, "He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. My Lord and my God." Congregation, Thomas was sought out by the Lord Jesus. Oh, just like a sheep who had gone astray. One of his 99 that was lost, he missed him. The Lord Jesus missed him. Among his disciples, and they were gathered and he appeared unto them. And there was no Thomas. So he sought out Thomas, just like he sought out Peter. He used his disciples first, and he put that in their heart, that they should go and they look him up and bring him back to the assembly of the people of the Lord. And then he came. Then he came when they were assembled together. Will you never leave your place empty? Young people, children, remember this. Remember this, I hope, for the rest of your life. Just think. Just think what you could miss. And you have the thought, you say, "I do not want to go up unto the house of the Lord." Now just think about something. If the Lord Jesus, if we were to say the Lord Jesus in a natural way, in his body, he was next Sabbath day to come into the church, how many of you would be missing? Oh, you say, "I want to be there." The mothers, they will bring all their children, and everyone will be looking in expectation. Why? It would just be to feed our natural curiosity. That's all. But now we read here in the Word of God, two times, they are assembled together. And Jesus, he comes in the midst of them. Oh, think, young people, if you ever miss the house of the Lord, because you would rather be here and there in the world. Oh, just think that that could be now the very day that Jesus comes in the midst of a church, of his church. And then what will you have missed? You say, we cannot gather now. That is true. Does that make you sad? Yet the Lord is not bound. That is the gift that He gives. It is like baptism. And we may not despise baptism. That is the ordinance of the Lord. It is the covenant of the Lord. Sign. We may not despise it. On the other hand, the Lord, He is not tied to it. And so that is also now with the house of the Lord, with the children of Israel. The Lord punished them. He sent them into the land of the enemy. Could not come up unto Jerusalem. And yet, in His goodness, the Lord says, when they are there in the land of their captivity, He says, then I will be unto them. There in the places where I've driven them, I will be unto them as a little sanctuary. Oh, families, fathers and mothers, you are gathered with your children each Sabbath day in your home. And we are so glad that we still may address you, that we still may preach the Word of God. Oh, is it ever that the Lord, He makes your home, your little home there, your living room. Does He ever make it a little sanctuary? Does Jesus ever come in and show Himself and reveal Himself unto your soul? Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. That is the word of the Lord. To whom? To Thomas, who missed Him greatly, could not do without Him, and who thought that he could never believe again. The rebukes of Christ, they are so gentle to His desponding, to His doubting people. He gives them helps as He is dispelling all their unbelief. Oh, bless the Lord. He dwells on high and He looks, condescends to see and know the things of heaven and earth below. He lifts the poor and He makes them great. With joy He fills the desolate. My Lord, my God, amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are round about thy word again, and thou who hast sought out Thomas in his despondency, thou knowest where all the despondency is, and that there may be a little love planted by thee in this heart and in that heart. And who does wish, who does long, who does cry that thou wouldst come again? Oh, that they might believe, that they might honor thee thereby, that they might receive that blessed comfort in it. Oh, do it, Lord. It is in thy word that thou didst do it, but thou dost do it. For thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wilt thou watch over us in the rest of this day? Help thy servants also again in this evening hour. And wilt thou watch over us, give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help each one, the labors of our hands in the week to come. Watch over us for good. Oh, thou hast spared us thus far from that which has come upon the world, and we are undeserving. But wilt thou continue in this time when it is according to man to be increasing? But thou art able to put a wall of fire about us. Oh, look on us, glorify thy name. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 415, 6, 8, and 10. Who is he that fears Jehovah, walking with him day by day? God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. 6, 8, and 10 of Psalter 415. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.